Okay. Our banquet tonight, good banquet, is the great chapter ever written in the New Testament about love. And we know from comparing religious books that there is nothing like that in Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, and all other religions. It's unique. Can you read my lips?
Yes.
Thank you. Partly because it covers every aspect of love. All of it. And because of its uniqueness, in my email to Bob Walter, I said, I struggled. I've accumulated that amount of material. Especially when you come to Christian writers of the 4th, 5th, 6th century who write poetry, like Ephraim the Syrian, and James of Sarug, Maximus the Confessor, Gregory of Nazianza, and then you cross the Mediterranean to the Latin Church, a lot. But what can we squeeze in, how many pages is that? 12 pages.
12, yeah.
Yeah, I think St. Paul will frown at us and say, what have you done, you know? So, I just want to alert you to certain things. On page 1, after the quotation, after the text, you see the 4 Greek words. Thank you, Mr. Walter, for highlighting them. Eros, philia, agape, and storge, right? The only word used in the New Testament is agape, for love, and philia as a verb, and as a noun also, but eros and the others are not actually used. Where you see, when I say a big material, because commentators will say, yes, but eros cannot be redeemed unless it is part of agape. Well, working for 5 years in a clinic, I believe they are right. I have seen a lot, and that's why I decided, you know, to take leave. I'm not going to stay all my life with that. Don't want to see the dirt of the city coming to us every week. And you know, I can cope with the dirt that the people collect once a week, the rubbish. But the human rubbish is more smelly, more disturbing than the rubbish you put outside your kitchen door. Very disturbing. Especially when there is a deliberate attempt to be cruel and brutal by either side. So, what I want to point to you is that agape has its roots, very roots. We are on page 3. But I hope you read 1 and 2 when you go back home. How many people read the handout? Put your hand out. Oh, I'm in a good company. Then I'm not regretting wasting my time in doing it. The roots of love is in you. It's not obtained from outside. It could be stirred by an stimulant. But the roots of love is in us, in you and in me. It's a natural gift given to us, as each one of us is the image of God. Even if even a fallen image still possess a seed of love. Even the most fallen person. I used to visit the prison in England once a week. and to see the young kids especially, once they are behind bars, they develop love for each other, which is rather unusual.
No, that's pretty true.
Band, you know, and care for each other, and of course, cooperate also in distribution of violence and drugs. There are reasons for that. But you know, he is my friend. Don't you dare to touch him, you know. So in theology, we know that the seed of love is still there. It didn't die.
The seed of love is still there, it didn't die.
But it needs to be transformed. It needs to grow up and to mature. So what Paul is saying, and goes back to Christ, if you really read the Sermon on the Mount, slowly and carefully, don't rush, you will see immediately that Christ is appealing to something in the human heart. In modern life, I was talking to my best listener is my wife, you know. She can't avoid me. She cannot take leave. She lives with under the same roof. You know, we were talking about our modern life. Modern life has created people who take their energy from an outside source. It could be a friend, could be the internet, could be the iPad, could be the iPhone, could be the church, could be anything.
Could be the wife,
wrong.
The husband.
Bad. Yeah. Could be your husband or your wife. Bad. Why? Because you start to orbit.
You start to what?
Orbit.
Start to orbit.
You know, and look for an outside source to stimulate you. And you neglect your own inner life. And once that happens, well then, I don't know, what can we do? Nothing. You know, when they come to speak to us, I say to them, you need to have the source of life in you. And get Christ in you. But if you don't, I'm sorry, we can polish you a little bit, soothe you a little bit, give you some practical things to do to cope with your problems. But there has to be life in you. If there's no life in you, you're going to come again and again and again and again. And you become even addicted to your psychotherapist. You come and stay with your counselor or your pastor or whoever. And after half hour, and of course you pay $150. I was told that even in Indiana, I said, if I got my license from England, I could make about $500 per hour. You know, then I can buy the best car. But that would be the price of all the misery of the people that I see. You know, and I always say, I cannot lead a good life out of the misery and the pain of that I see. You know, simply because you come to me loaded with problems and then talk to you, you come down, you get better, you start to smile, you get a coffee or an ice cream or something, you know, on your way out, all I can say, get into your own inner life. Those who do that come back in a year or two. But those who don't, they come every week. Can I come and see you? Yes, of course. After all, it's nice, you're going to pay some money. Oh, yes. Can I book another time with you?
He doesn't charge money, by the way, don't
he? No. I'm not talking. I don't do that here. That talk about the other life, you know, that I give up. Simply because there is no inner life. But you know, tonight, if you have not seen the seed of life in you, there is a way of discovering it. Okay. Look at food you love. The cat or the dog. Or the car. Or the neighbor. Or the TV program. Or the books. Or the preacher. Or the church. All the friends, all this points to a fact in you. that you have a seed of love in you. But it is excited and it is working from outside stimulus. Do you understand me?
Yes.
Please. Because you know, if you cut off that outside stimulus and just look inwardly, you need to get Christ in you. The hope of glory, as Paul says. If you don't, I'm sorry. You can read books, go to Bible studies, listen to the best preachers, and remain dry. Remain always. I think I told you before, I used to have a friend, and she was a very brainy woman. She was not dull. Every week she rings me, "George, my brain is dead. Can you tell me some exciting ideas?" And I say, "Why?" "The great exciting idea is that you are human." And the great exciting idea is that you don't need anything. Once I was fed up with her, actually. And I said, "I have the greatest exciting idea for you. That as a human, God became human because of you." I said, "That's the greatest news I can hear. So be human. Enjoy your humanity. That's exciting idea." And she said to me, "That's dull." She needs something, you know. It's addiction. You know, I need something to stir me up. Why? Because my nerve system has been trained in this way. I need to start my day with something great. And you know, people are addicted to news. If there's nothing shocking in the news, they get depressed. I'm telling the truth. "Oh, the news is dull today. There's nothing, you know, no fighting, no shooting." not a shocking lie from any of our politicians. No economic crisis, you know. And, you know, life is goes on in, you know, "Oh, today there's nothing good in the news." No, there is. There's evil, at least. Aren't you happy? There aren't any bad news, no one being shot, no, you know. No, there's nothing. The news was dull today. I used to hear that from my best friends. No, the news are good. And you know, there's a common saying in colloquial English, "No news, good news," right?
Yes.
But you know, no news means life is nice. Life is ordinary. And since it's ordinary, our nerve calms, and when it calms, life becomes dull. But love is not to excite you. Love is to make you look inwardly to the great power that God gave to you. And that's why we have to look at love as the power that transforms us. Let me give you a test and think about it. Did you ever apply for a job and found that the job is hard? But because you need the money, you persevered. Right? And because there's no other job you can do, so you stayed. And then when you start to love your job, the dullness of the job will decrease. But if every day you walk into your office as if you're walking into a jail, you'll never see anything good. You'll never learn anything either. You know, we learn very quickly from things that we love, from people that we love. That's why the greatest message of the gospel is that God became man to show us how to live as humans and to teach us how to love each other in a practical way, rather than talking. See, love is not a talk. Love is an action. You can talk about love, but actions. In England, they say actions
speak loudly.
Okay, thank you. You know, because actions actually even done in silence. And so, there's a quotation from Sophronius on page 3. "Because in love there is one law, and that the law is what? Love itself. You see? Love does not need a law important from outside. Love, like many other things in this life, the law of love is love because God is love. God is not doctrines. God is not the scriptures. God is not hope. God is not faith. But God is love. So, this is the last quotation of Philemon on the last page. But I say it early. Because, you know, the shortest way to true theology is to love God. And you have two options. One option is to look inwardly at this seed in you. And the other option, which is divine, is to ask the Spirit of God to come to your heart, to make your heart on fire. It's up to you. So, if I speak in languages, and you know, I have no love, I have the highest gift of the Spirit, but I have no love. Simply, I gratified myself, I gained popularity in the community, but I missed the goal of love, and that's God. Very dangerous. You know? Very serious also. That's why on page 4 you have people who had the gift of prophecy. Like in the Gospel of John chapter 11, after the rising of Lazarus, and the people went and reported the rising of Lazarus. You know what Cephas, the high priest, said? It is better to crucify Christ, better for one man
to die,
rather than the nation to suffer from what the Romans will do. Let's kill him. But there is a miracle. A man has been in the grave for 4 days, and he rotted. Smell. And he came alive, you know. But, you know, and then John says, you know, he was a high priest and that year, and he prophesied. But to prophesy without love is to miss God.
Prophesy without love is to miss God.
Absolutely. So your prophecy may be true, because God wants everybody to know truth. And God always hopes that truth will lead to love. But very often, we like to hang on what we know and reject love. So you have people in church history and in reality. On page 5, you know, people who can offer everything in their life, give their money, do charity work, do everything, but no love. Paul says they profit nothing. And that, on verse 3, is a quotation from St. Augustine. Giving one's body to be burned is not a license to commit suicide, but a command not to resist suffering. If the alternative is being forced to do wrong, good. Spiritual gifts are dangerous because they can lead to pride and schisms. But the way of love is safe because it is the way of God Himself. I don't know how many debates I have heard in my life about biblical verses. People kill each other and suffocate each other by the Bible.
People kill and suffocate each other by the Bible.
Yeah, you know, they say, but this verse says this, that verse says that. Okay, thank you for this verse and for that verse. But are we friends? Do we really love each other or not? If we don't, I don't know. And so I always worry about the high gifts. It's good to have that, good to have the gifts of the Spirit. They are the best protection that God can give to us. But you know, if there is no love in the heart, It's a very dangerous road. And you know, God has the generosity to give the gifts so the people around us can profit. But did you yourself profit from the gift of the Spirit? Did it teach you how to love those around you?
George, what does that look like when you have the gifts of the Spirit but you don't have love? Who is that?
Oh, church history is full of people who are very clever. Very clever indeed. They were given the gift of preaching, the gift of prophecy. And they caused division in the church. There was a man in Rome by the name called Novatian, a great theologian, and he was one of the most successful people in Rome in the 3rd century. And he came up with an idea. Just listen to the idea. If you commit a capital sin after baptism, there is no hope for you, which would be murder and adultery and idol worship. Yeah. And so he went into a program of purification of the church. If you commit adultery, you are out. And caused a schism. Because people started to look, okay, we commit adultery. So what? Are we lost? No. You have to be purified and come back to Christ. No, there is no purification for you. You broke the vow that you have taken for your baptism. But by making baptism a vow, committing yourself to a vow, baptism is no longer grace, but became a law. Became a burden of a legal relationship with God. And he fought the bishop of Rome, and the Roman church had to cut him out, excommunicate him. But people, you'll be surprised, people followed the way of Novatian. We call them the Cathari in church history. They were still alive, operating in Bulgaria and in Yugoslavia up to the 18th century.
What was Novatian's era? Was he from like the 6th century?
3rd century. Nathan, and then, is it Drew?
I don't know.
You teasing me?
I was just itching.
Yes.
I'm curious, what was, you said his name was Novatian?
Yeah.
What was his rationale for that?
No way, nothing, no rationale.
Of
No.
Was this based on a biblical text? No,
biblical text. It is his reading of grace. That
it's a Catholic church name today.
No.
I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt.
No. There's no.
I'm trying to show the way of love.
No, you have another man, Arius. 4th century. Oh, I think he's the devil himself. Because, you know, he created a book called The Banquet. Popular verses that like kindergarten
rhymes.
What do you call them?
Nursery rhymes.
Nursery rhymes. And all against the Trinity and the divinity of Jesus. And people recite them in the marketplace and in the streets. In vain, they convened 2 councils in Alexandria to stop him, but in vain. And he went as far as to seek imperial protection and created a gang around him to attack Christian churches and to kill those who stand against him. Now, you explain that to me. And he was the most important preacher of his time at that time in Alexandria. Eloquent. Oh yes, great. You know, when you read whatever survived of his sermons, you think that this man was a great orator. Great. But he used his talent to fight Christ.
Well, Christ said, you know, at the last day people come and say, we have cast out demons in your name, we have healed the sick, we have done this and that in your name, and he says,
I don't know you.
I don't even know you.
Yeah. He was a bishop someplace, wasn't he? Area's bishop?
No, he was a priest in Alexandria. Actually, he was born in where Mr. Qaddafi was, in Libya. A Libyan man.
but this is, George also, when he talks about Jehovah's Witnesses, goes back to the Arian heresy of this guy.
My goodness, I had a couple of, when my wife is not there, I'm very kind to them.
Yeah.
But when my wife is in the house, I am a little bit brutal, because I don't like them. I think they're demon possessed. I think that's my. A couple came, they chose the best time of my life is Saturday morning. No church, no Bible study, nothing. It's time to relax. And then the doorbell rings. I opened the door. I found these two, and you smell Jehovah's Witnesses. It's a special snitch, and they said, look at that, we are selling Bible studies. I said, no, you are Jehovah's Witnesses because you smell death.
Smell of death.
You have no smell of death. Why? You don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus, and you have no eternal life in you. Oh, they panic. Come in.
Sell love, though. I mean, when you look at their stuff, I mean, they talk about how. I mean, it's love. I mean, you ever see a tract and somebody hands it to you, and you're wondering if it says Watchtower?
Yes.
Or if it talks specifically about,
I know,
all about how Jesus and love and stuff, they're Jehovah's Witnesses, and what they deny the divinity of Jesus. You know, he was a guy, and he taught about love, but he was not.
But you know, there is a book written by an American called I Was a Prisoner of Jehovah's Witnesses. And when you read the book, you really know how being in an occult, it's an occult actually, it's not just a sect, it's an occult. You are in a bondage. The Mormons are the same. We had a Mormon friend who became a Christian recently, and he gave me, believe me, that amount of books. Books that you cannot buy anywhere. And then he comes and says, I need my books back. I said, no, you are not going to get these books back. These books are a treasure. And I read most of them. You know, when you read them, then you really know it's not really a Christian sect, not even a sect. It's an occult. You have a certain commitment that you cannot opt out. And once you are inside, you can't get out. And you keep saying, so what is wrong with an occult? Three things. It's a bondage to a law. You are in bondage to a law. And there is a denial of personal freedom. And that is the most worrying thing. You are not allowed to think for yourself. And number two, you are in bondage to a style of life. How to get dressed. I haven't seen that, but from the books, the Mormons have certain underwear.
Yes.
which they wear. For whatever. So, other occults,
Why is that?
They think they are the heirs of the priesthood of Aaron.
Yeah.
And they dress like the people in the Old Testament, and that is utter rubbish. We don't know how they were dressed in the Old Testament. Not for sure, certainly. We can guess by looking at the customs that were in the Canaanite religion and ancient Egypt and Persia. But the Hebrews never told us, except later on, the 6th, 7th century, after the spread of Christianity, a lot of things about their habits of eating and dressing and so forth. And the style of life. Number three, you are part of a group. And you belong to that group all your life. If you move from that city to another city, you immediately are connected with another group. You have no private life for you or for your family. And that means, the chance of discovering anything for yourself is zero. That is why, all the time I think personal freedom, given to us by Christ, has an important mark. Love that has no law. Love that has no reason either. Why God does love you? Because He is love. And that's not a reason. If there is a reason for love, then love is controlled by the reason. But God loves us for no reason. Because He is love. He is good. He is generous. And so forth. So, you see, on page 5, at the bottom, Jesus Christ our Lord did not come to teach us great ideas about anything. He came to reveal love, which we lack. But as for great ideas, we can create. Create your great ideas. No great idea can create love in any human heart who does not know the love of God the Father, revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you ever heard of a great idea that can make someone love someone? It's so simple fact, frightening actually. You know, this is my real worry. Because if you really think that there is a way of knowing a recipe for love, you're making a big mistake. There aren't any recipe. You need the grace of the Spirit. And that's not a recipe. That's a matter of faith and a matter of communion with God. Page 6. Any questions before we move?
So,
I can see your eyes. That's why I said, you know, I can see a question. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There are people who will say that they can love without the grace of God. Are they not understanding what love is, or is there a something that looks like love but isn't love?
No. There is natural love among the most horrible sinners. That's law, natural law. Human inclination, yes. But the grace of love in the Spirit has 4 qualities. Thank you.
That's 3.
3 qualities. Did I say 4?
We'll see when you get that.
Okay. How many fingers are these?
There's 3.
No, there are 5.
0.
Have 3 qualities. Look, Mr. Prophet. That's his nickname, Mr. Prophet.
With love, though. Not a sounding symbol.
No. This is, you see... no. The three qualities of love of the Spirit is number 1... You love your enemies. You know, Joel, I have seen baptized, committed Christians, hear them with this ear, see them not only with my eyes, but with my glasses also. Married, and the volume of hatred is frightening.
Between them and their spouse.
Yeah, between husband and wife, you know. We always have a law, you know. A marriage problem is caused by 2. It cannot be caused by 1. Forget it. It has to be 1 side that comes complain, but what about the other side?
Okay. Marriage problem is cured by 2.
Yeah, by 1. You know, so there is a problem here. You say to them, but you know, as a Christian, you have to forgive. You see, I cannot forgive. I heard that cry for 5 years, coming from different people. And I said, but you need to pray for the grace of God to give you the energy to forgive, to let go. He took the car when I wanted it. He did that for this, you know. And all, believe me, are things that could be dismissed. But there is something underneath. You know, I'm not going to tell you how I myself used to look with horror. On one occasion, a woman came to the clinic. Her husband threw a pot of hot soup on her. So she needed medical attention. So I left her with the MD and I walked out. I could not just look at her face and the burns on her neck and on her hands. And I kept saying, why a human person, between brackets, you know, will do that? You don't like the soup? Have a piece of cheese. No cheese, have bread. Have a glass of tea or a cup of water or something. Don't eat. If the food is a stumbling, is the food really a stumbling block in your way? Oh, I don't like, he didn't like the food. I, you know, got it from the stove and threw it on her. And you know, that's why the first mark is when there's a problem and you cannot love your enemy, there is a danger here. That your love is unredeemed love. Still the natural love that needs the grace of the Spirit. Number two, people love each other and commit themselves to each other. Oh yes. Till a disagreement started to loom in the horizon. And then, you know, that great, you know, my goodness, 5 years of marriage. That's a true story. And had some financial difficulties. The husband lost his job. He had a good job, good income, but there was a problem in the company and he lost his job. You expect that the wife will stand up by him, won't you? No. Things started to revolve around the finance, and she applied for a divorce. And the poor man was broken, and he came to us. And he kept saying, I really wonder if she loved me for my money. Well, we cannot tell. Because you need to listen to the other side. And the other side never wanted to come to us. She went to court straight away. What am I supposed to do? I lost my job and now I'm going to lose my wife, you know? The man who speaks to you, that's me, lost his country, lost his church, lost his wife. That's me. And the day I lost my wife, she took me to court. Doesn't want to stay with me. One of my best friends rang me, actually, Divine Providence. How are you, George? I said, I'm fine. Have you seen Fiddler on the Roof? And he said, why? I said, because, you know, we keep our hats on, ready to move on anywhere. Anywhere. What are you going to do? Well, I start a new life from zero. Again and again and again. Because I never forgot the motto of the special forces of the Arm of Israel. A great hero, is a wounded soldier who can stand up and walk. Because if you sit down, you are dead, or the enemy will capture you. I don't know, there is, I love that program, it's a funny, by Jean Cleese, the Monty Python.
The Holy Grail.
Yeah, when he is a knight.
Yeah.
And he loses his hands and his legs, you know. And he's still fighting. You know, simply because life is like that. You know, when he came and said, I lost everything, I said to him, well, you start from zero. No, I can't. Now, here is the power of the Spirit. It says, you know, once you lose every earthly element, the Spirit will tell you, you can start a fresh life. People lose their jobs, lose their homes, lose their children, lose their wives or husbands, lose their health. Oh. When I had an operation one day, I went for an outpatient in the best hospital. I stayed for 45 days. You know who's next in the same room next to me? Was the advisor to the Prime Minister of England. He has septicemia like me. and you know, when they tried all the drugs on me, it didn't work. So as they're about to give up on me, they brought someone from outside the National Health, and I'm warning you, National Health is the downfall of everything. Social, what you call it, social medicine. Okay. And you know, we used to talk, you know. They got him to me because they got him to that man. So they said to me, are you ready to pay some extra money to see that? Yes. Otherwise, the money in the bank will not profit anyone. You know, because if I'm dying, you know. And the man came and looked and he said, well, there is one drug that we have not tried. We have to try that. If it doesn't work, I don't know what I'm going to do. Do you know, in 24 hours I got better. In spite of all the antibiotics that injecting in my vein, because they have a list of drugs that's allowed to be administered. And you look back and say, he said to me, have you lost your hope in life? I said, no. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to live. Simply because my love for life is not my love for life as I am a healthy person or I am a sick person. My love for life is because I love the gift of life that God gave to me. And that's the second mark of the love of the Spirit. I love my life as a human. And because, you know, whether I am with one leg or two legs or 10 legs or 4 legs, you know, I am alive because that's the gift of life that God gave to me. And he has the responsibility of making it good. But number three, which is more important than all, those who love by natural thing are always fighting over earthly things. But those who love by the Spirit cannot fight about eternal things. They look at earthly things and say, okay, I told this story about Philemon when sent Father Silvanus to get him a pot of lentils. On the way, he stumbled in the sand and he lost the lentils. And he came back and said, I'm sorry that I dropped the lentils on the sand. And he said, don't worry. We'll go to it. Didn't want to come to us. We'll go to it. All right, go to it. And he went and heaped some and started to eat it. Of course, with some sand in it. And he gave me some. And I actually ate it out of horror. I have to tell you. I don't know what the sand will do to me. But anyway, I ate it. And then he said, well, thank you for your help, Father Silvanus. It's nice lentils with extra sand in it. That's fine. And then I kept saying, this man cannot be disturbed by anything in life. He wasn't angry at all. The lentils don't want to come to us. We'll go to it.
I hope everybody caught what you said first about that when you love by the Spirit, you can't fight about eternal things. I mean,
you cannot fight about earthly things.
Well, earthly, but...
But you don't fight about eternal things.
About eternal things, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's, if you think about that, when have you ever argued with somebody? I mean, you argue about what heaven's this or heaven's that, but, you know, it's not like, okay, we'll talk about this in hell, you know. Well, it's like, no, you figure...
No, or you see, if you disagree with me, I disagree with you about something eternal. Okay, wait for eternity.
It'll show itself.
Or wait that love may reveal something to you.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really have
the... You know, simply because at the end of the day, it's not what you think of Christ or what I think of Christ, is what Christ is in himself.
Yeah. What Christ what?
Is in himself. Because Christ in himself is above every theory we have in theology.
Above our ideas of that.
Yeah. You know, I know you because I have definitions of you. But you and your reality... Above every definition. Why are you staring at me?
I'm trying to decipher what you just said. Say it again.
Say it again.
Above what you think Cassie, you are.
Cassie,
yes.
I can think of you as white, American, evangelical, Baptist by origin. Right?
No, I'm not Baptist.
All right, whatever, you know.
What he said specifically was,
yeah,
it's not what I think of Christ, it's what
Christ
is himself.
Himself.
Right.
That was the kernel
nut. You know,
idea.
You know, but you know, people may come with ideas about Christ. Biblical, not biblical, that's not the issue. But you know, with a span of time, I may discover that some of them are wrong. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or some of them are correct. But you see, it's not the ideas that connect me to Jesus.
It's his life that comes.
Yeah. It's not because I know you come to East Manchester that I love you. Or that you're married to this man who's bald like me, then I love you.
Well, that's a good reason to.
But because you are the child of God.
Amen.
You see?
I see.
And because we share a common faith, Christ. And because Christ in me doesn't make me afraid of a foreigner or a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I cannot do that with many friends, but you know, most of my friends, when I write to them, I said, my love in God. And one of them wrote back and said, this is very serious, George. I said, no, you are my loving God, because if I don't love you in God, then I am a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see something about you. No, you and me are friends forever.
Mm-hmm.
So she wrote back and said, we don't speak like that in church. I said, in your church, in my church, we don't know how to express our Christian love. That's actually a fault. I think I saw a hand. Is that you?
Yes.
Yes.
This is going back a ways. You said that, well, let me ask you this. Where did you learn all about Christ?
Oh, I learned about Christ from three sources. By being in fellowship with good Christians. I mentioned Philemon. You are a newcomer, so Philemon was my mentor. I had a PhD. He never had a degree from anywhere. Not even high school, not even primary school. But I discovered a treasure in him. I used to go and sit and listen to him sometimes for 5 minutes, sometimes for an hour. And see a wisdom. Number one, from Christians. Number two, from church history. But number three, personal encounter with Jesus himself.
Amen.
What I'm concerned about is the Bible.
Yes.
You skipped over that and said that it's not, I know exactly how you said it, but if we don't use the Bible to learn about Christ, it's not that we worship it, but we learn about Christ through
Christ.
Okay, was that God is not doctrine, scriptures, faith, and hope. God is love.
Love.
Okay.
If you make the mistake of worshiping the Bible and forget that you're supposed to be worshiping love, then
worshiping God.
Or worshiping God, right. That was.
I think if you think that I minimize the Bible, then that'd be a big mistake.
That what?
Minimize the scriptures.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
Because even in the creed, for every section, we say according to the scriptures. Okay? But you know, when you go to a restaurant, what's the first thing they do to you in a restaurant? They give you a menu. But you don't eat the menu, do you? Why? No. The Bible is a menu. It has the recipes. And you have to unpack it.
And then the other thing was the spirit you said was dangerous?
No, to ask for the high gifts like prophecy, like speaking in tongues, and not to ask for love.
Oh.
You know, I think I have to make myself clear. These gifts are good, but there is a foundation for them, love.
If you operate in love, they're worthless.
No, they are dangerous. They're not worthless. They are dangerous.
Okay.
You know, we have had many people that I have seen in my ministry who were good exorcists, good healers, but one of them ended by embracing Islam.
Ended by embracing Islam.
Oh, okay.
He became a Muslim. Yeah? And his denial of the Lord, I cannot tell you. Took us 7 years to bring him back. And when he came to give his testimony in the cathedral, there's one big question. How could you end in that road? Do you want his answer?
Yes.
He said, I wanted to gain popularity. I was faking many things. Popularity, faking many things. But on certain occasions, the Lord gave me certain things. But by looking back at the way I used to fake things, I became very mixed up. Is it me or is it the Lord? And I said, it is such a hard life. I take an easy life. I become a Muslim. But as he ended into the pit down there, he surfaced by discovering that there is no love. I need to go back to the God of love. And he did. But the scandal he created was really an earthquake. He was a good preacher also. He's a great preacher. You know, I have seen many preachers who lapsed in their ministry. And the victims of that preacher are more than those who are captured by the devil. I don't want to mention names because you know all. It's in the media. And people say, how could someone be in ministry for 40 years, go wrong? Well, he went wrong for the same reason that can capture anyone. I want to be popular. I want to capture the attention of the people. So they prepare sounds that are actually like beating drums, you know? Some of them I hear them on the telly. I keep saying, oh Lord, I hope these people wake up before it is too late. You know, you hear a sermon. And 30,000 sitting, you know, memorized, you know, mesmerized. And, you know, but you know, when you analyze a sermon, it's like hearing a drum.
When you analyze the sermon, it's like...
You know, when you hear a drum, you know, it's a big thing. But after it stops, there's nothing. And I keep saying, why? I'm not going to mention names. But you know, the success of the gospel is not the eloquence of the speaker.
It's not the eloquence of the speaker.
Not the style of preaching. Not how many people attend. I was in a bookshop recently. And I saw a book by a person. Listen carefully, please. And the title of the book, The Power of Faith. Right? And it was for $25. I said, no, I need to read that because that's a very deceptive book. So as I had time, I looked inside. It's about how the power of faith can change your life. Now, do you know why this is deceptive?
Our faith has no power, only the object in which it is placed.
You see? Faith has no power. And it's all about the power of faith. And all the quotations from the scriptures are wrong. Used for that purpose as if the man never read the text. And I keep saying, there's no power. The power is Christ. Now faith became a substitute for Jesus. And the book on the cover, 500,000 copies was sold, the first edition. Now you tell me. what is that? it is geared to the most dangerous area in our life. You know what's the most dangerous area of our life? Self-love. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
To bring us to glory.
No, self-love. Yeah. Of course. Thank you. Self-love is not wrong, but it makes a U-turn to pride, to all sorts of things. Extreme self-love, known as narcissism. You love yourself and everybody else is out. Okay. Page 6. Love is patient and kind at the bottom of Augustine. The reason why love does not envy is because it is not buffed up. For where buffing up proceeds, envy follows, because pride is the mother of envy. Yeah, isn't that an ancient wisdom? Because you see, I always say, hi. You know, I noticed that in the university, I have noticed that in America, especially among the ladies. When the lady walks in, the other ladies examine her from top to bottom. How she's dressed, what sort of makeup, and so forth. I did ask one of them who was close to me, I said, do you compare yourself with other ladies? Oh, yes, of course. What do you gain? What do you gain out of that? I want to know if I am in the fashion or not. Okay, you knew that you are in the fashion. What good does that do to you? Oh, it makes me feel nice about myself. What good will come out of feeling nice about yourself? You know, all the tricks we do in our life brings us back to the self. Fine. But once you are back to self, put that self in Christ Jesus by loving Christ. Amen. Because once that self stands naked looking for the next shirt or the next pair of trousers, I'm talking in a metaphorical way, you know, or looking for this or looking for that. I don't know if you have that. The British have this habit to go to perfume shops, and there are testers, you know, and they try every bottle. And they don't buy anything at the end, you know. You see a line of the ladies standing. And I have men too. I go in order to get some nice perfume without paying. I used to do that. I don't do it very often now. Simply because it's not the same variety you used to see. But never mind. suppose I don't have that perfume. What's going to happen? Nothing. Why do I need to feel good by the perfume? Can't I feel good by being kind? You see, can't I feel good by being patient? Can't I feel good by giving a word of encouragement? Can't I feel good by praying for someone? Can't I feel good by just saying, Christ, you own my life, and I own your life also? Isn't that the best way of being good? Why do I need to do something external to boast in my ego high up? That's extreme self-love. In it.
What do you think? Can I just throw this in here? To me, this is like the best part of the whole deal. And I'm looking at the watch. What do you think about spending the second week on 1 Corinthians 13?
I would love
because
it.
This is so good. If you come back. And if you read it, because what there's some stuff in the handout about the will versus feelings. that's really key toward agape type love. And we've only got two more classes, okay? Because just the way the calendar lays, we've got 16th, the 13th, the 20th, and then the next week is Thanksgiving. We won't be. Looks like we're going to have the dinner on the 4th, unless that changes overnight because May's. But anyway, we've only got two more lessons to finish.
How many pages would you like to edit?
George, we have it.
For right now.
No, I need to add more. Because after I did that, this came out of about 300 pages.
Okay, well, throw in another couple. Keep it pithy.
Wait a minute. Did I send you a letter on self-love by Philemon?
You did. That was in the...
Is that for you, Drew? Self-love?
Pardon me?
Self-love.
It was in one of the earlier ones.
No, it's not.
I think it was in either the second or third one.
Okay, I don't mind to continue because simply my message to you, because I really love you, leave this place with connecting yourself to the inner source of life in you. Mm-hmm. And that will be your being and the eternal source of life, which is Christ. Mm-hmm. If you orbit around 100 things, 2 things, 3 things, 5 things, they will not give you any comfort. They are just like, you have a bad tooth and you get an aspirin. Right? The pain will go for 5 minutes, but you need to go to the dentist to drill the root canal. And the root canal is this. You need Christ to be in your own heart. And you need Him. When you love Him, He will come to you. But if you get all these things that are tranquilizers, you know, they will not profit you. You will remain, forgive me, naked. Metaphorically, obviously. But down here, you know, you need the eternal presence of Christ in you. So you be strong, you be courageous, you can go through earthly things, you know, and nothing can hurt you. If you meet a problem, then you have the hope in the God who loves you. May Christ be with you. And you,
hang on to these. I have a hunch you'll probably come up with some other stuff, and it'll be either a part 2 or an addendum or a gloss, or who knows. But hang on to this. I'll take the extras. We'll have those for next week. And that way we can...